Hey, Star Trek fans, this is Michael Flores, the host of Star Trek From the Holodeck. You will notice if you look at your podcast app within the description section, every new show will be featuring a new Star Trek item that we will offer our listeners. And when you purchase through that link, you will help our show continue to be on the air. So keep your eyes open for those links. Thank you.
Warning, Star Trek From the Holodeck contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Lock it alone!
Fire.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Commander Klingon vessel, we are energizing transporter beam. Now.
Welcome to Star Trek From the Holodeck. If you're a new listener to this show, I am Michael Flores, the captain of this ship slash show. And my science officer for today and co-host is David. Hello, David.
Hello. There is no life signs out there, Captain.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
This time I got my stations right.
All right. Can I fire you in the side?
Just put me in the torpedo.
Can I launch you into the anti-Genesis planet? Anti-Genesis. All right. So it's a wonderful day to be alive if you're a Star Trek fan, because there's just so much news. And we talk about this almost in every show we do now, but I'm still amazed. I have to pinch myself because every time Star Trek news pops up, I'm like, is this real? Is this really happening? 1, 2, 3, wake up. Because we have not had real Star Trek news like this in decades, Dave. I can't remember the last time we really had relevant Star Trek news on almost a daily basis.
It is a great time to be a Trek fan again.
Yeah, and that's why I get so mad at people that hate on Kurtzman and what's going on with Discovery, because let's say Discovery isn't your thing. Okay, that's fine. Not everything needs to be your thing, right, Dave? But at least be happy with what Discovery has done. Because of Discovery, we have now a new era of Star Trek, Dave. There's a lot to be happy about. Star Trek Universe, Dave, is the new name for what we are in right now. This era of Star Trek. We have a name. Star Trek Universe. And it's coming to Comic-Con with the franchise's first ever Hall H block, Dave. That is something to be happy about.
That says a lot. Because, like, it has been a long time in San Diego Comic-Con history that Star Trek has had this big of a showing.
That's relevant to Star Trek.
We've had panels
here and there for the movies. We've had different things sporadically over the last 10, 15 years. But Dave, we're in Hall H now, buddy.
Yep.
This is where all the big fandoms are at. It's a travesty that Star Trek hasn't been in Hall H before.
Although I will say this, they're in Hall H, right, Mike?
Yeah.
That only means one thing. The fan microphone is going to be the funniest thing to watch.
Hopefully they have patience.
We know that basically if you were there, you would have phasers ready.
Oh, I would. Everybody. I'd have them on set to kill. If I was the moderator there, I'd be like,
you kill this guy. Kill this guy.
Why is Spock not in season 2?
Does anybody have a bat left? Decapitate this guy, please. Decapitate. Immediately. Send him to the reverse Genesis planet. You know, the reverse Genesis planet is basically just a planet where they die. Yeah, it's a dead planet.
A dead planet.
Yes.
That's where Khan went to. We'll send him to the same planet Khan went to.
Send him to Seti Alpha 5.
Yeah.
I want brain worms all in him.
Somebody get the Khan worm, please. What kind of question is that? Anybody got a Khan worm? Shove it directly in his ear. Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. That's the thing. That's the only thing.
Dude, I could be a good moderator. I could. But it would take all the woosas I could muster. I'd have to definitely go to the gym in the morning. I'd have to have a very good breakfast. And then I would be an excellent moderator to deal with the stupidity of so many people. And they're just borderline rude questions. Sometimes, like, I can deal with dumb questions. Because, you know, your idea of a dumb question isn't your idea of a dumb, right? Not everyone's, let me rephrase this. Because that was pretty dumb how I said it. Not every question that's dumb to you is actually dumb, my guess. Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah.
Okay. So a dumb question to me isn't necessarily a dumb question to somebody else in the audience. There may be someone that says, oh, good question. I want to know that too. But the things I can't take are the rude things.
Yes.
How come it's Star Trek Discovery episode 7? It sucked.
That's why if they do have a live feed for Hall H this year, because I heard that they might be doing that where they have
a
live feed. So people that can't make it to the con this year will be able to tune in.
We got invited online. Dave.
Yep.
We got invited. But unfortunately, I gave our press tickets to other people in network already. But I didn't realize Star Trek would be represented in Hall H, Dave.
I know. Can you imagine? I actually
got the email that said, hey, come to Star Trek Hall H and represent as press. We want you there. I'm like, son of a bitch.
But then again, as I said, this might be a good thing, because if we were there and we were near the microphone when fans start asking questions, we might attack someone.
Yeah, I'd be like, Nero, fire everything! I could go on forever. All right. So CBS All Access and CBS Television Studios invite Star Trek fans to experience the ultimate Star Trek universe celebration with the first ever Star Trek block of panel programming beaming into Hall H, featuring Star Trek Discovery and the highly anticipated new series Star Trek Picard and the animated series Star Trek Lower Decks. So they're going to be pimping out all three series, Dave.
And this will be amazing, because we haven't seen anything from Lower Decks yet, and they're specifically holding it off till San Diego Comic-Con.
Dude, I'm really pumped for Lower Decks. Like, people may think, well, what about Picard? No, I am, but I kind of, like, I'm already there. Like, I was prepared for it. I know what to expect. I'm not saying I understand the stories that are going to happen, but I'm like, okay, there's some mystery there. I'm not going to say there isn't, but I don't know what to expect from Lower Decks. Plus, it's written by one of the Rick and Morty writers. I'm a huge fan of Rick and Morty. This is just going to be an interesting... It's going to be an interesting experiment, Dave, to see what they can do with an animated comedy of sorts.
And that's the thing. It's something different. It's something unique. And
we've never gotten anything like this, even during the Rick Berman days and Michael Piller days. Like, we've never gotten anything like this. I think that's a better way of saying it, Dave. It's unique.
Yes, it is unique because this is not, and it's not going to be like, everyone's like saying, well, it's just going to be like Star Trek, the animated series back in the 70s. I'm like, no, you guys don't understand. The team behind Lower Decks is the guys who do Rick and Morty, one of the most creative
and intelligent
cartoons. I don't want to call it a cartoon. I want to call it an animation, because it's intelligent and it's creative.
Yeah.
They actually they know how to write a really good narrative.
Yeah, I would agree. Absolutely agree.
That's why that for me is just like you. I'm really excited for Lower Decks. Picard, I am excited about that, because can you imagine if they launch a story trailer at San Diego Comic-Con for Picard?
I know. I know. I'm excited, man. They also have a new logo that they're using to promote, and it's called Star Trek Universe. It looks very similar to how the Picard logo looks and very similar to how the Star Trek Discovery logo looks. So obviously they're going to be sticking to that branding. That's the new branding of this new era, the Star Trek universe. I'm excited, Dave, to see what happens over the next few months. All right. So over the last 50 years, the world was first introduced to what would quickly become a cultural phenomenon for the ages. Star Trek broke barriers then and continues to do so now, inspiring people of all generations and walks of life with its celebration of cultural diversity, scientific exploration, and the pursuit of uncharted frontiers. Today, the Star Trek universe continues to thrive, exploring all new missions for Starfleet. CBS All Access invites you to join the cast of producers of its hit series Star Trek Discovery and be the first to hear about two new upcoming additions to Star Trek, to the Star Trek universe. The highly anticipated new series Star Trek Picard, starring the one and only Sir Patrick Stewart, and the animated series Star Trek Lower Decks. The Star Trek Discovery cast is scheduled to appear. It'll include Sonequa Martin-Green alongside executive producers Alex Kurtzman, Michelle Paradise, the new showrunner, and Heather Caden, with series guest star Tig Notaro, who plays Chief Engineer Reno, moderating the conversation. Oh, she's a good show. That's a good pick to have her
as the moderator.
Yeah, because she's funny. She can probably deal with the annoying people.
The way she actually can deal with the snark is going to be really good, because Tig is actually, if you listen to her interviews, she's very kind, I want to say.
Yeah.
But she can spar with a lot of people, especially a lot of the fans.
Yeah. Now, Star Trek Lower Decks panel will feature co-creator and executive producer Mike McMahon and surprise guest sharing exclusive first look at the upcoming animated series. There's also going to be a Star Trek talent meet and greet at booth 4237. So they're going all out. They're doing what you do when you get into that very sought after Hall H. So they're going to be representing, and I'm really happy. And according to various reports, Patrick Stewart will be at the Comic-Con Picard panel. So he will be there representing, man. And this is going to be a huge draw, Dave, because he's not just a draw for Star Trek. He's a fandom draw. He's a big get. He's a huge iconic actor at this point, especially with his connection to the X-Men franchise. I mean, this is a big get.
It is. And I'm really expecting big things out of this, because as I said in the very beginning, it's kind of like, we haven't had this big of a turnout for Star Trek in a long time for San Diego Comic-Con. The fact that they basically got all this all set up speaks volumes that what's in store for us as Star Trek fans. And during a time when basically the old battle of what franchise is better, Star Wars or Star Trek, Star Trek has actually gained a ton of momentum with great series. Some of their expanded universe stuff has been very good. And the turnout for Picard, I'm really interested to see what they do at that panel with Star Trek Picard. Are they going to actually tell us?
There's got to be footage, right?
We've
got to see footage. There's got to be.
I mean, it's cool that Lower Decks is going to actually show us some stuff finally.
I think that's the announced footage they're going to show, but dude, they can't possibly go to Hall H and just shoot the shit for an hour. They have got to show footage from Picard, especially because according to various reports, they have officially started shooting. So they've got something. I mean, even if it's like, a 60-second spot or maybe a part of an episode, maybe the opening 5 minutes, I'd be happy seeing that.
Yeah, right? It would. And the one thing that's actually really interesting at San Diego Comic-Con that I wish, now looking at this, I want to go, is a lot of the stuff that's on the floor. One of the things that has my interest piqued, just as a Star Trek fan, is the Jean-Luc Picard, the First Duty exhibit.
Yeah.
Because
that's cool.
We're going to have, they're going to be actually putting out, apparently, props and uniforms from the Picard series.
They're going to have the Rescan flute? Is that how you say it? I never items on display include his cherished Rescan flute. I don't know the name of his flute, but I do remember him playing it all the time. Yes. With his little legs crossed. The legendary Picard family album, his Starfleet uniforms, models of ships Picard captained, and all that remains of the Borg Queen.
It's going to be creepy.
The gallery also features exclusive first looks at costumes and other items featured in upcoming CBS All Access series Star Trek Picard. Visitors will have the first chance to purchase exclusive Star Trek Picard merchandise. Okay, come on.
Aww.
I want to go.
Now I really want to go.
The gallery is going to be located at the Michael J. Wolf Fine Arts, 363 Fifth Avenue, San Diego, California. I'll put out this information on our website. There's people going.
Who and there's going to be exclusive Star Trek badges.
I know, Dave. I'm going to have to tell some of our our Rayman Digital reps to just swing by and pick me up these.
Swing by, please.
These exclusive pins. There'll be a number of exclusive limited quantity Star Trek pins that will be available. All week long at Starfleet headquarters. Visitors badges will be available for those who visit the complete the Star Trek transport experience at the Star Trek Universe booth. So, dude, it's gonna be fun, man. But this, even though we're not going to this because I gave away, press credentials, I'm still happy as a Star Trek fan knowing that Star Trek for the first time is being represented like this.
Yes.
This is a new era of Star Trek, and it's fantastic. It makes me happy. Alex Kurtzman has done a great job with breathing new life into Star Trek. It's what we have been saying has needed to be done for years. And by creating various different pieces of Trek for different demographics, like the cartoon that's coming out for Nickelodeon, then, of course, Lower Decks, Picard, Discovery, he's hitting lots of different demos. And because of that, he's doing exactly what we have said needed to happen with Star Trek from the TV front for a very long time. You need to give this show new life. Also, you need to give it an life expectancy. You need to bring
longevity.
You need to bring in new audiences that will cling to this franchise, because as I've always said, Dave, you and I, are probably the youngest of the old group of Star Trek fans.
Yes.
Most of us are a lot older. We're an aging fan base. So they need to bring in these younger people. And that's exactly what they're doing. Now, Star Trek's Alex Kurtzman talks Picard being first Trek series named after a character. Now, this is something that I was also, I want to say, griping about just a bit. I don't like to be a troll, but I did say I wasn't sold on the name. I'm sold on the concept. I'm sold on the show. But the name itself just kind of throws me off because we've never had a Star Trek show with a name.
Yes.
And it doesn't feel quite right. And I didn't know why they would name that. I mean, we were wrestling with the reasons why a few shows back as to why they would do that. And we basically came to the conclusion that it's all about marketing. You know, Star Trek, The Wonder Years is hard to sell. Well, what's that about? Star Trek, The Last Stand. Well, what's that about? Star Trek, Picard. Oh, shit. Captain Picard. It's a very easy sell, especially for all those people that were TNG fans for back in the day, or even the fans that maybe they've never really watched a lot of Star Trek, but they're big fans of Patrick Stewart. They know who he played in Star Trek and is going to bring in people. So it's an easy way to market. Now, Alex Kurtzman gets into this issue. Why is it named after a character? He says it's a great and necessary question, and it's something that has been baked into the DNA of Picard. Yes, obviously, Patrick, it's Patrick, but we have an unbelievable cast. And, you know, the thing that I loved about the Next Gen cast is that you really could have focused on any episode on any of them. I would say the same about our cast now, that it's such an incredibly brilliant group of actors that are given such amazing things to do. Without spoiling anything, he says, I think you will feel that. And that's pretty much all he says about the name. He doesn't want to give away any more details, as he believes that if he gets into it too much, it'll spoil parts of the TV show.
Oh, the TV show. And it's interesting, after I read this interview with Kurtzman, it kind of, for me, I started actually really, really analyzing and thinking about it. If you look at all the series that have gone before in Star Trek mythos, you have Star Trek, the original series, which focused on the crew of the original Enterprise. Kind of made sense. That's the kickoff. Then you have Star Trek, the Next Generation, which focuses on a next generation of Star Trek characters. Then you have Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which focuses on a space station that has this eclectic cast of characters, and all of it is all based around Deep Space Nine, and then so forth and so on. You have Voyager, you have Discovery, you have all that. From the sound of it, we were told at the very beginning of this that Star Trek Picard is going to be a very personal story. So the whole point of it calling it Picard is it's about Picard, but it's about the people also around Picard.
Yeah, and I think that was the reason why he did allow this bit to come out before the show aired, because that's the general consensus. Well, if it's named Picard, then it's going to be solely about Picard. But I think he's trying to clue people in and say, hey, look, it's called Picard because it's Picard. He didn't really give us a real reason, but he wanted to let people know there's also other people in the show that are just as good. So I think he was trying to tell people, hey, it's not just a solo act, that it is an ensemble cast, and that there'll be a crew of sorts. Honestly, I don't really think he needed to get into that, because I don't really care about these other people we don't know about. It's about Picard, and I think that's the only sales point I need at this moment.
But it's a very interesting tightrope that Kurtzman has to follow, because like nowadays, any bad publicity can derail a project.
Oh,
we all know that.
Yeah.
So I think the way he's handling it, with how Picard has been treated kind of like in a mysterious point of like a mysterious project so far. We haven't gotten anything conclusive about it yet. But I think that's Kurtzman's plan, because he wants to be careful with it. He wants to be careful about people's expectations, because he understands if he answers the wrong way, it is very easy for a troll out there to turn his words and suddenly say, we need to write a petition to remove Kurtzman from Picard. And it's like, you get that bad publicity, especially when a new series is coming out. I'm sorry, scandal can easily derail a series.
Yeah. Because the real reason, let's be honest, the real reason they brought Patrick Stewart back is it's all about trying to bring back the old Star Trek fans that
it's
have
name
kind
recognition.
Of. Yeah, because there is a large portion of the Star Trek fan base that refuses to accept Star Trek Discovery.
Because they're babies.
They're babies. They're stuck in a time that is no longer. And listen, first off, I want to say I love Next Generation. I love the original series. I love Deep Space Nine. I love Voyager. I like Enterprise. But, I mean, that's a different era. You cannot make TV like that any longer. It will not work. And we've gone into reasons why. I'm not going to bore people with that again. If you're a new listener, just go back to our older shows, cycle through and listen. They brought Patrick Stewart back for one big reason. It was to bring back the people that are on the fence, the people who are like, oh, I don't like Discovery, but I got to check this out. This is Patrick Stewart. This is Picard's story.
Yes.
But that being said, there's still going to be plenty of people who are going to hate on this and say, oh, this is going to ruin TNG. In fact, there already are those people on social media saying this is going to do what Discovery did to the original. This is going to do to TNG what Discovery did to the original series. It's going to destroy it. Which I don't agree with any of that. And I don't think Patrick Stewart would come back to television if he thought it was going to do the same thing. Got to have faith in Patrick Stewart as well, because he's an actor that's very careful with what projects he gets involved in. He also, as most of us know, really respects the legacy of Picard and what he left behind in TNG. He will not come back unless he feels like it would help. He's not going to come back if he felt like that script was going to diminish or destroy any of what TNG did for the story of Picard. Now, do you agree with that?
I agree with that because we all know that we all know that Patrick Stewart is very protective of this character. I mean, he has been open and honest about it in a lot of interviews since he started Picard.
Yeah.
That his legacy is tied to Picard's legacy. And I do enjoy the fact that he really does treat that role as if that's his, I hope I use this term right, but his magnum opus.
It's what gave him mainstream appeal.
It gave him his mainstream appeal. It's like, this is something that he wants to take care of because it's not just the character's legacy, but it's his legacy too.
Yeah.
The one thing that the one thing that popped in my head that was interesting in this interview was like, they made the comment that basically it's odd that basically you would have a Star Trek series named after one sole character. And I thought about it. I'm like going, is there any other characters out there that you could possibly do this with in Star Trek?
I think they should do an entire line of shows like that. Star Trek Worf, Star Trek Data, Star Trek Riker.
That's what I mean.
Star Trek, like, Deanna Troi.
Can you actually see?
Hold on. Star Trek Seven of Nine. Star Trek Seven of Nine's boobs. Star Trek T'Pol.
Only you would want to watch
T'Pol. Star Trek T'Pol's boobs.
But it really makes me think, is Picard the only character that you could possibly see this being done? I mean, a lot of people have made the comment that, okay, well, William Shatner should do it for Kirk. I'm going, no.
I don't think we should do it because this is, you don't want to make, it just returning to the well too many times. You don't want to do that. I think for now, this is all we need. However, if they would have gone the other route and said, hey, you know, let's do Star Trek Kirk and brought back William Shatner, I think that would have worked as well.
You think?
Yeah, but the only thing is that William Shatner's story ended. He died in the Nexus.
That's true.
So, and it was very close to the same time period as when they officially retired, and they let, you know, his death scene in the Star Trek timeline happened really close to Star Trek: The Undiscovered Country.
Yes.
So there isn't a lot you can do. I mean, that's my, just to get off topic for a moment, that's one of my biggest gripes about Star Trek Generations. There's a lot to love about that movie. There really is. But that's how you wrap up the legacy of Captain Kirk? He dies in the Nexus, missing in space? What a small way to end your life when you live such a large life. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah.
So that's my biggest problem. But so that's why they couldn't do it. I mean, sure, they can go retrospectively back and change some things around and make it work, but that would feel contrived. As far as I'm concerned, unfortunately, Captain Kirk's story's over and always will be over unless you want to keep digging in to the prequel territory, which can get really ugly and
messy.
So, no, I think Picard is the more logical choice, Dave. All right, so let's go to a very quick break, and then when we get back, we'll jump into news actually pertaining to William Shatner. We'll be right back.
They have given you your answer, Captain. Weapons stations. Fire at will.
Hey, Star Trek fans, this is Michael Flores, the host of Star Trek From the Holodeck. You will notice if you look at your podcast app within the description section, every new show will be featuring a new Star Trek item that we will offer our listeners. And when you purchase through that link, you will help our show continue to be on the air. So keep your eyes open for those links. Thank you.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, and a third item you'll
you'll both enjoy.
Ooh. And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping.
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
The Rain Man Show. The Rain Man.
Why do you have to take it to the level of photographs and like, hey, I know you don't want to see this, but this will strengthen our friendship with these horrifying images.
He sounded like he was interested.
Okay. Did he? How does I don't want to see any photos, Andrew, equate to me?
Please show me some photos, Andrew.
How does that happen?
It's like, you know how guys are hanging out and it's like, oh man, this tastes awful. Here, have a bite.
What?
Have you never...
Wait, guys, what?
Did you hear the pre-show?
One thing leads to another. Next thing you know,
this up to ass.
So you know your dick's in the other guy's ass.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
All right, get more Star Trek from the holodeck each and every single month. Head over to patreon.com/RainManDigital and get more Star Trek discussions, ranging from different discussions on themes of Star Trek, ideology of Star Trek, and topic-driven discussions like the Maquis, Borg, Q, all things that we keep going on. They're continuous, ongoing discussions. So head over to patreon.com/RainManDigital and pledge $5 or more a month, and you help us keep the lights on in the studio, and you recharge our dilithium crystals. Thank you.
We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Star Trek from the Holodeck. If you miss any part of this broadcast, you can always find us on Stitcher and iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Just search Star Trek from the Holodeck. All right, Dave, so let's talk about William Shatner some more. Now, he has defended Tarantino's R-rated Star Trek with a question to fans. Now, of course, this has been kicked back into news. This whole Tarantino directing a Star Trek film, because he was asked about it again during the press junkets for his upcoming movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And he said, yes, most definitely, if I were to do a Star Trek movie, which is being worked on, it would have to be rated R. And there are a lot of fans, Dave, who are adamantly against this, and I'm not quite sure why. Rated R isn't this automatic stamp that means boobs, foul language, and blood and gore.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that.
It doesn't.
And I think that's what a lot of these fans who are griping immediately think. Oh, sex and F-bombs and blood and people's heads being exploded. R ratings are also given to shows that are tackling more mature themes, much like the mature rating that you have on parts of Discovery here and there. Not because there's an excess of blood and violence. It's just because you're delving into more darker themes. I don't think it's a big deal, Dave. And this is from someone, and you too. I don't want to speak for you, but so jump in and tell me if I'm wrong here. But I would consider us extreme Star Trek fans, not average fans, not, hey, we kind of like Star Trek, or, hey, yeah, we love the movies and some TV shows. We love all the movies and yes. All the TV shows. Are they all perfect? No.
No.
But we love them all. We are real Star Trek fans through and through. And if real Star Trek fans who understand the essence of Star Trek and appreciates Roddenberry's original
ideas
for Star Trek, if we can understand that, how come we're okay with a potential film being directed by Quentin Tarantino. I feel like if we can look at it positively and say, well, this is what he can do with it, then I think others need to take a couple of breaths and realize that this is what the movie side actually needs. Just like Alex Kurtzman has breathed new life into the TV side, the movie side also needs some new life. And if Alex Kurtzman isn't the man to do it, because for whatever reason, because of the contracts issues between Viacom and CBS, then this is the second best thing for right now.
Yeah. And the thing is about like everyone being afraid about the rated R marking on a film. Marking a film rated R just means that it has content that is actually fit for adults. And the one thing that I've always felt about Star Trek that superseded any other franchise that I've always followed is that it has no fear tackling mature content. It doesn't. It doesn't have – you can tackle things like racism, death, child abuse,
right,
suicide. You can tackle those things. And by allowing that rated R version, it doesn't cap off that those topics. Because, like, say, for example, PG-13, right? You would never see, like, everyone constantly, on a side note, everyone basically says in, say, the Marvel Universe, which is PG-13 territory, everyone wants to see Kraven's last hunt with Spider-Man. And I kind of laugh at that now and say, you are never going to get that. You know why? Because that breaks PG-13. Well, it's really great content. It's about a story about like how to deal with suicide and stuff like that. Exactly. PG-13 is kind of like, for me, I've always seen PG-13 as kind of like a rule. It's like a boundary. It's a wall, a creative wall that basically people are not allowed to go past. Now in films, when you go to rated R, that wall is removed. You can actually be more creative. Right. It's not about boobs. It's not about sex and violence.
It's just more. It's more avenues to get into stories that may be more mature in theme, more serious topics. And you bring up the Spider-Man issue and having a radar movie, the MCU. At this time, it's not going to happen for that. And I'm going to compare the two. The difference is that the MCU, for the most part, needs to appeal to the masses. They have a lot riding. Yes. They have a lot riding on the line at this point. They need to cover their budgets. These movies are multi-billion dollar pictures. Star Trek is not.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was ever a time to take a risk with the Star Trek movie franchise, now's the time.
It is now the time.
They literally have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
The movie franchise side of things is dead, unfortunately. And I think the only person that can really bring it back to a relevance to the mainstream is Tarantino. Star Trek, or Quentin Tarantino, is one of the last directors that sells his own movies with his name. It doesn't matter who's cast in that movie. His name is what sells tickets.
Yeah.
And because of that, his name will have brand recognition that will put asses in seats and make Star Trek help Star Trek have a great box office performance, which it needs. If the Star Trek movie side hopes to continue, it needs to be a box office success. And that's only going to happen by doing gimmick casting, if you will, but with a director. The same thing happened in 2009 with J.J. Abrams. The reason why he came in was because he has brand recognition at that time. He's a little different in the way he does things now, 10 years later, but back then he had a certain type of brand recognition that really worked to relaunch the franchise. And it did. The 2009 movie was fantastic. Into Darkness kind of brought it to a screeching halt, unfortunately, because of various issues. But for the most part, JJ did breathe new life. Now, if we can do that again with Tarantino, I think we should, because he could be the one that takes Star Trek and brings it back into the mainstream. And I know there may be fans out there that say, oh, you know, what does it need to be mainstream? But it does.
It does.
Star Trek has to be mainstream, at least the movies. They have to be mainstream if we hope to get more. And for the last, before the 2009 reboot, Star Trek was not part of the mainstream since First Contact.
Yeah.
First Contact was the last Star Trek movie to really resonate with the mainstream.
And also, when you take a look at filmmakers in general, I think Tarantino's the only one that could really open new creative storylines film-wise. Film-wise. We're not talking TV. We're not talking that. But film-wise, Tarantino seems to be the only filmmaker that could possibly breathe new life into creative avenues in Star Trek. I have nothing against J.J. Abrams. In fact, I love his reboot. I really do. However, Star Trek needs a shot in the arm creatively because it's hitting that wall. It's like it's scared to do the stuff that basically it was based on. It's based on Roddenberry's social storytelling. And for me, I just don't think J.J. Abrams can do that type of storytelling, but Tarantino can.
Yeah.
I mean, I was cycling through my head. I can't think of another filmmaker that could write like Gene Roddenberry did.
And let's be honest, unfortunately, even though I'm a big fan of J.J. Abrams, he kind of burned his bridge with the Star Trek fans because of that weird hatred for Star Wars. When he left Star Trek to go to Star Wars, it pissed a lot of people off. Well, the people that were still here after Into Darkness, and then he pissed people off with Into Darkness. So he kind of burned his bridge with the fans. So at this point, they probably need to bring in some new blood. Obviously, JJ is still, I think, contractually tied to the franchise, but he would be an executive producer. In fact, it was his idea to bring on Tarantino in the first place. So I feel like we need to have an open mind. William Shatner seems to have an open mind about it. His mind went to expletives as a way to justify it. He says, why are people up in arms about this? Wasn't Discovery dropping expletives? Obviously, he doesn't realize that people were upset with that. Because he actually says Star Trek Discovery has used expletives in some episodes. Why aren't people melting down over that? Obviously, he missed the news on that one because there were people having a meltdown. They were throwing their hands up into the sky, crying to the Star Trek gods. Why? Why did you have Tilly say the F word? Potty mouth. We're all adults, guys.
We're all adults,
and we all cuss, and we hear cuss words all the time. I'm not saying I want it, and I'm not saying we need it. And we're also assuming, just like William Shatner, that that's what we would get in a Star Trek movie. I don't think he's going to go dropping bad words every 5 seconds. That doesn't even feel like Star Trek. If anything, he's going to tell us a gritty story. With Tarantino behind the helm and us having a rated R film, honestly, we're going to be able to cross into territory that we just could not have crossed over.
Exactly.
And that's the point. And William Shatner has also voiced that he would like to be in a movie directed by Tarantino. Of course he would. Who wouldn't want? If you're an actor, who wouldn't want to be in a film directed by Tarantino? Honestly, that'd be great. Can you imagine having William Shatner come back for one more movie and it's directed by Tarantino? That'd be amazing.
That'd be amazing. It'd be really fun to watch.
Yeah. All right. So Star Trek's Deep Space Nine documentary, which we reviewed, headed to San Diego Comic-Con with new footage.
God damn it.
Now, the sad thing is that they're going to be treated like the red-headed stepchild again, because obviously they're not included in the Hall H panel. They just can't get a break. Star Trek Deep Space Nine has never been respected, and now here they are again in the midst of Star Trek craze and somewhat of a rebirth, a new era, and they're going to be shoved into some small room. Unfortunately. However, Dave, this seems to be a negative, but it could easily turn into a positive. Think about all the Star Trek fans that are going to be coming because of Picard, because of Discovery, because of Lower Decks, and the overall excitement surrounding the Star Trek universe, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, guess what they're going to do as well? Hey, you know what? There's a Deep Space Nine panel starting as well on Friday. Let's head over there. So if anything, they're going to see some of that traffic bleed over when otherwise they may not have. So according to comicbook.com, the documentary What We Left Behind, looking back at Star Trek Deep Space Nine, is heading to San Diego Comic-Con. Distributor Shout Studios revealed its plans for this year's convention. Those plans include a panel focusing on the documentary. The panel will take place on Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m. in room 23AB. Star Trek Deep Space Nine cast members Andrew Robinson, which is Garrick,
yep,
Aaron Eisenberg, Nock, Sarek Lofton, Jake Sisko, Chase Masterson, Lita, and Penny Johnson, Gerald, Cassidy Yates will attend the panel, along with showrunner Ira Stephen Burr and documentary producer David Zappone. They'll spend an hour discussing the film and will reveal new footage that was not included in the documentary's theatrical release. Okay, I have a bone to pick.
You and me both.
Now, if they release that new footage with the Blu-ray that's coming out, I believe, in August, then I'll be fine, because I'm going to buy that documentary regardless.
Same here. Yes.
Because it's a fabulous documentary. You can find our complete discussion on it, review, breakdown. If you just scroll down our feeds, a few shows, you'll see it pop up. We get into all the ins and outs without spoiling the potential season 8 that they spitballed during the documentary, which was really fun. So I'm happy to see that life is continuing with this documentary. I was hoping it wasn't one of those documentaries that premieres and then just fizzles out into obscurity.
It's really interesting watching this documentary and seeing how the Star Trek fan base is reacting. Because, yeah, it is constantly gaining traction. Like,
it people, really is, yeah.
People are going back and actually talking about, you know what? Deep Space Nine wasn't as bad as I thought. And I'm like going, yeah, exactly. It's not as bad as you thought. I learned the same thing.
I really hope that there are Discovery fans who are new to Star Trek.
Absolutely.
I hope they try to check out this documentary panel and they realize, oh, wait a second, despite what they will have you believe, Discovery was not the first to go into certain territories.
Yeah.
Deep Space Nine was. Well, not just Deep Space Nine, Star Trek, but Deep Space Nine was also very socially relevant. And they don't get the credit they deserve. So it would be very cool to see some Discovery fans cross over and realize, holy shit, I might need to check this out on Netflix or Amazon or that's CBS why, All Access, wherever it streams.
That's why I'm really hoping any Star Trek fan out there, you fill up that panel room. Show the love for the crew of Deep Space Nine.
Because by showing us your titties. By showing them your titties.
It's funny because finding out that they're not in Hall H, I feel sorry for Ira, because Ira is like, Ira, out of all those showrunners of Star Trek, seems to always get the shaft.
He just gets shit on all the time.
He gets shit on all the time. And yeah. I picture like Ira looking at Hall H going, can I get he's into all, the panel? He's all,
I want to be where the people are. He's our own little Ariel in Star Trek here.
And that's the thing. It's kind of like, I really didn't realize how bad Deep Space Nine gets it from its fan base.
Oh, to this day.
And like, I'm like going, when you look back at it, people then start saying, oh, you know, it wasn't that bad. And I'm like going, yeah, because you guys hated it because it was so different from what we got. And now we look back and it says, it's really great storytelling. And if Deep Space Nine was made today, it would probably be the flagship of Alex Kurtzman's Star Trek.
It would get a lot more accolades for sure.
It would get so many more accolades for what it's done.
Yeah. I mean, even during the documentary, they had a whole portion about people who are just now finding Deep Space Nine because of all the streaming platforms. And they're like, wow, this is a great, you know, science fiction show. Forget Star Trek for a second. This is just a great piece of science fiction, period. So...
Although, yeah, I was like you when I first heard about this. I was a little upset when they said, yeah, we're going to release unreleased footage from the theatrical release. I'm going, son of a bitch. You mean to tell me you guys were holding stuff back?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
And we sat through there, had a blast watching this documentary, and I didn't want it to end, and you had more?
Yeah. So the Blu-ray will be released in August. I don't have an exact day in front of me, but it will be released in August, according to this article. But hey, if you're at Comic-Con and you're walking down the halls and looking for something to do 7 p.m. on Friday night, it's definitely worth checking out. Hopefully they're going to show more HD footage, because that was one of the highlights for me in that documentary, that we were able to see actual restored footage from Deep Space Nine. Well, restored's not the right way to say it. They went back to the vaults at CBS and
just reshot it,
re-edited it, took the original footage and put it all together. And it cost a lot of money. And yet we were able to see scenes in glorious high def that we have never been able to see because it just cost too much money. It was a big undertaking to restore parts of the original series. And then, of course, all the high def work they did on TNG. It's just, it's way too much money. It's not cost effective with a show like Deep Space Nine that's not as powerful as The Next Generation or the original series. All right, Dave. Well, this concludes our discussion today on all things Star Trek. I want to thank everybody for listening and tuning in. Please, if you enjoy our banter and discussions, you can always find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Just search Star Trek From the Holodeck. Also, we do additional discussions each and every single month. If you pledge to our Patreon page, patreon.com/Rainman Digital, and you pledge $5 or more a month, you'll gain access to an entire library of additional Star Trek From the Holodeck podcast episodes that are only available if you pledge to our Patreon. So head over there. And thank you, David.
Thank you. Let's live long and prosper.
I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
End simulation.